Hello and welcome to Contemplations. I am joined by Connor.
Hello.
And I'm Josh. So we are going to be talking about today the Manosphere's disastrous dating advice, and there is no shortage of it, so we can't possibly cover all of it. We're not going to give even an overview of it. We're just going to give you a little window, and you'll already be able to see that it's terrible. And I'm not going to put myself up on a pedestal and say, yes, I've got it all figured out, but I know that this is wrong.
Yeah, it's possible to know generally what you should do instinctively, and then if you're trying to overly rationalize the dating game and you come up with this solution, I think you're probably in the wrong place.
Yes, and I would like to clarify that in researching this, this was one of the most painful things I've ever researched.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this was Connor's idea.
Yeah, it was, because I stumbled across a Twitter feed that I believe is embedded at some point in here, and I thought it was so ludicrous that we had to set the record straight for the sort of two-thirds of our audience that are still male viewers.
So my faith in humanity is rock bottom at the minute, thanks to this research. So hopefully I can demoralise you two and we can have a good laugh at the expense of these imbeciles, quite honestly. So what actually is the Manosphere, first and foremost? Well, I think what we can do is have a look at the book that popularised the term. And we've got an Amazon link here, which has a description of the book. And the book is titled The Manosphere, A New Hope for Masculinity. And they're already off to a good start, because the author is Ian Ironwood, who is a pornography marketer. So that's who you want masculinity lessons from. Someone who wants to sell you some degeneracy.
You exactly. Someone who's peddling the exact instrument of the demise of manhood and your pursuit of getting a real human girlfriend. He's a drug peddler selling you a rehab program.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just thought it was funny that the person that coined the term is like the worst possible person to do it. It's actually for good advice. So the description of the book is as follows. The Manosphere is a loose collection of blogs, books, and forums about men, male issues, and masculine interests, covering areas of this vast dirty snowball like pickup artists and game, traditional and Christian conservatives, wise old men, purex, which I had to look up. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's basically a view that we're living under a societal extended adolescence.
Yeah, Peter Pan syndrome, because everyone's going off later and later to university, whereas, for example, the American founding fathers were about 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So.
And it goes on to say, alpha dads, men's rights activists, men going their own way, and other facets of masculinity in a post-feminist world. Ironwood has designed this book to be a survey and introduction, not an exhaustive study. Find out why men aren't getting married as much or as early, find out what your daughter's chances of finding a good man really are, and figure out what constitutes a good man.
Well, I think it's worth adding a disclaimer here that obviously we can diagnose the same issues, for example, biased family courts, sexually overly permissive and hedonistic culture and lifestyle, which is to the detriment of both sexes, feminism that has atomized women from the family to become worker drones and lied to them about biology, etc., and the idea that antagonistic relationships aren't conducive to having a family or marriage for quite a few men and women these days. And at the same time saying, withdrawing yourself from the dating game entirely, or being a cynical nihilist and just saying, I'm just going to be evil for the sake of being evil, and exploiting that and poisoning the well by sleeping with as many women as possible, maybe isn't the solution to this. And not everyone in the manosphere is proposing that. Those that aren't very helpful, but those that are trying to genuinely contend with men's issues are to be lauded, even if they slightly get it wrong. We're just going to excoriate the idiots today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then it carries on to say that the men of the Manosphere aren't right-wing thugs or mindless trolls. They are seeking thoughtful answers to difficult problems. In the process, they are revalorizing masculinity itself, adapting it to a postmodern, post-industrial, post-feminist world. Getting loads of buzzwords in here. It's not a world of equality, it's a world of equilibrium. It's not a world where men become better at serving women, but where men become better men. And it's not a world of sensitive new age guys talking about their feelings. It's a world where sweat, respect, honor, and fidelity are the coins of the realm. As more and more men, married, divorced, and single, take the red pill and apply knowledge of the Manosphere to their relationships, a wonderful thing is happening. Men are growing strong, more secure in their masculinity, and less likely to capitulate to feminine whims on the basis of the feminine imperative.
So I like the term equilibrium, not equality. Because mm-hmm. I like, this is what I say to my girlfriend sometimes when we have a bit of a spat. And she agrees with all of my my political and philosophical premises. But as soon as it gets into an argument, she wants to get one over and she gets emotional, she'll go back to holding us to the same standard. And I say, no, we don't get equal here, we get fair. And fair means complementarianism and acknowledging the differences between the sexes will produce different outcomes and desires. So, for example, I might be more rational, but she might care less about the content, what I say, than how I say it, because I don't tone police, mainly because I'm very blunt and I'm a man, so I don't really care. So the idea of equilibrium, which respects sexual differences, and according to your sex and your actions, you get a just outcome rather than an equal outcome. That's a sensible thing to do. But unfortunately, these guys then invert it and play the exact same power game that the feminists play, just in reverse. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying feminists need corrective present discrimination to correct the past discrimination of the fictional patriarchy, they're saying we need present consciousness of power dynamics and present discrimination so men can hold most of the power in the relationship consciously and so women will be happy in a subservient position. And I think that can often lead to male exhaustion with enforcement costs and female resentment and not a happy relationship.
Yeah, I think that if power is on your mind, something has gone wrong in that dynamic. You shouldn't, in an ideal world, you shouldn't be thinking about power at all because things would just work out. You have a good deal, so to speak.
I think it's a mask-off moment when they do say postmodern in there. And this is quite a postmodern adaptation of masculinity. So it mm-hmm. goes rather from truth towards power. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk in particular about why pickup artists all need to be eliminated. I despise them. I think they are utter vermin and they should not be respected. And one of their main tactics is known as the cold approach, which, as it sounds, is just approaching someone when you have no reason to, other than to try and date them, which is creepy and weird and cringy. And to be honest, I don't understand how this ever works on anyone. I mean, they claim themselves that they have very high rejection rates before they get a success. And shame to the women that ever agree to this stuff, to be honest.
It's not just that. It's, of course, you have a high rejection rate because the men approaching the women, for their perspective, is a crucible for self-confidence. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But then you shouldn't expect a woman to take to this tactic, generally speaking, because women are very sexually selective and very risk averse. And I remember there was a video that Elijah Schaefer put out on his Twitter and he just captioned it with women. And it was a fella holding a camera and holding out his hand for a shake or a high five. And all the women looked at him and walked past in disgust. Well, the men walked up to him and shook his hand and said, "Hey, bro, very nice to meet you." And people were going, "Oh, women just hate fun." But no, women shouldn't go up and greet nor have physical contact with a random man on the street because of not power dynamics, but the physical differences, the threat that strange men can pose. Of course, women should be more risk averse, more conscious mm-hmm. of their own safety. So if you're going up to a woman just propositioning her for sex or trying to hit on her, of course she's going to be skeptical as to your motivations. Wasn't there a university study where they asked a bunch of men propositioned a woman to come back to their apartment and 0% of women said yes. And then a woman propositioned a bunch of men to come back to her apartment and about 70-80% said, yeah, on the spot, I don't have any classes right now.
That really doesn't surprise me whatsoever. That sounds about right. We need to do better as men.
Yeah.
We need to get that to zero. No.
Well, no, that's true. To be fair, I'm on that side. I went to university with this guy who was renowned for... he wasn't the most attractive guy in the world. Facially, he was all right, but he wasn't in great shape and he was kind of on the short side. But he had stellar confidence and no standards. And so I, in the same boat, I would get approached by a few girls. I don't want to, you know, big myself up. But you know, when you're in a club, there's alcohol flowing. And
you're going red.
Well, shush. when people feel a certain way, they might make a proposition. And I just said to him, look, the reason I haven't said yes to any of them is because I don't want to poison the well, so to speak. Because if you are looking for a girl to settle down with long term, and I'm sure we'll get onto some sort of bogus advice like this soon, but you don't want a woman who has slept with all your friends. There's a phrase where it's a woman's past is most important to a man's future is most important to a woman. And so your propriety matters to the man who's going to invest in you because it's a track record of your past behavior for him to invest in as a loyal wife and mother. And so you don't want to perpetuate this terrible culture of you have to sleep with 100 men before you settle down and find the one. Have fun, be free, go be a boss girl. If you want to ensure that your friends don't get stuck with the same resentful women that made you this resentful towards women because you were scorned by a woman who wasn't loyal, then don't make them bitter by sleeping with them all the time. It's a vicious circle that you just need to break.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the fact that with these women that have slept with 100 men, men can always figure that out.
Yep.
Like, we have our ways.
There's the meme of, it's the Arnold handshake from Predator.
Oh,
and it's,
yeah,
China, women lying about their body count.
Oh, that's dark.
Yeah.
So yes, obviously approaching someone you don't know can only be judged based on physical appearance, and you have no idea of their character. It's a weird dynamic from both sides, both the person being approached and the person approaching, because surely the thing that is most contingent on success, obviously the prerequisite is you both find each other physically attractive. However, the most difficult part is whether you have a compatible personality. That's the place where there's the most variability. So it's probably the most important because it's the most likely to be wrong. And therefore, focusing on the small aspect of it, I mean, if you're looking for a long-term relationship, then you're kind of setting yourself up to fail from the get-go.
Yeah. Well, virtue is most conducive to a healthy long-term relationship. This is why I think most of the Zoomers are the highest, I know you hate that phrase, but the post-2000s generation, the highest sexless generation. And it's because they've been given this kind of advice, which is only conducive to short-term hookups.
Mm-hmm.
They're funneled into dating apps, like, well, not even dating apps, something, right? Hookup apps like Tinder, but they're trying to use it for dating. And so there's a unilateral exchange here of where the woman is coming to the man asking for either a hookup or to subscribe to his OnlyFans, her OnlyFans, and he's going, well, I was actually looking to meet a nice girl on here, but you're hunting in the wrong field, you're using the wrong tactics. But those are the only tools you've been given to work with, and no wonder many of the people our age and a little bit younger are going, I can't find a girlfriend, and so I'm becoming nihilistic about it.
I mean, I haven't really come across many people in my personal life that are like that necessarily.
I've met quite a few.
There are one or two, but most of the time people kind of know what they're doing. I feel like it was the last kind of people of my age, it was the last gasp of the old school way of doing things before everything got ruined.
Yeah, but to be fair, you, I mean, how old are you? You're like 3 or 4 years older than me, aren't you?
I think so, yeah.
The different, you underestimate the difference it makes of people starting secondary school without a phone. Because that has become, like, this is the Snapchat generation. And so that is the way you're expected to interact, is the implication of sexual access and the instant termination of any conversation. So all of your conversations are short-term, non-memorable, and based on just getting to the titillating photo, as it were. And so if you have been conditioned to go through that through secondary school and you enter the university environment where there's overwhelmingly women who control the sexual environment and there's a vast minority of men that are actually sexually viable because lots of them are schlubbish beta males who don't deserve women, and I'm sure we can excoriate quite a few men here that think they're part of the manosphere but don't want to put the work in to actually earn a woman, that skews the sexual dynamic towards the purely materially transactional rather than the sort of transcendental, the metaphysical, the emotional. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think you underestimate actually how bad things are for the dating game right now.
Well, I'm under no illusions that it's pretty bad for a lot of people because I hear a lot about it.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you a bit of hope and saying that it doesn't have to be that way. There are old ways that do work.
Yeah, this point is return to the old ways, don't accept and try and cope within a new paradigm. That's hopefully
exactly
what we can tell you today.
So yes, this cold approach is portrayed by pickup artists and these sorts of people as being confident, and they recommend it all the time as building your confidence. But to me, it reeks of desperation. If you're approaching people you have no emotional connection with, just out of the blue, that shows that you're just desperate, pathetic. You don't know anyone in your own personal life that you could possibly date.
Well, the person being approached knows you're going to play the numbers game because they've got no pre-existing relationship to you either. So they know the premises on which you're approaching them, and so they're going to feel in the literal sense objectified. They're just thinking, okay, you approach me because you think I'm pretty, you don't know anything about me, and we know what this engagement is. Even if you're taking this advice and you earnestly think this is the way to meet women long term, that's going to be the immediate reaction from a woman, and she's going to give you that Medusa like stone stare of rejection. You're not going to get anywhere.
Obviously, it's a different dynamic if it's the other way around, but I've had a few women approach me before, and to be honest, I just thought less of them for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was initially flattered, but then I was just like, well, if you're if you've got to the point where you're asking people out of the blue, it doesn't reflect well on your desirability, what's going on in your life, that you're doing this in the first place. If you're willing to also proposition someone out of the blue, well, that doesn't fill me full of confidence for your fidelity as well.
That's exactly the way to put it. I was in secondary school, I was the, you know, I had a couple of girlfriends, all of which were utterly disastrous, but I was the sort of shy, skinny kid. And then when I got a bit more confident, a bit more outspoken, I got in much better shape. When I went to university, and I didn't even go out till third year, so, you know, immersed in the new student lifestyle a couple of years late, and only for a short amount of time because then lockdown kicked in. But I'd just go outside to the outside bar bit in a terrible nightclub, which I didn't want to be in because the music's too loud, especially for these ears. And sometimes girls would come up to me and ask me if I'm in the rugby team, etc. I had one girl come up to me just off her face and said, "Oh, you're gorgeous. Can I take your phone number?" And I was like, I'll be polite. But in my head, I was thinking, ugh, because I know the premise that you're approaching me with. You want a sort of transactional, sleazy liaison, but you don't know anything about me. And it's almost, I think, less of them as well, because in the same way that you should be risk averse when a man approaches you on the street, this is part of the reason women should be careful who they're taking home. It's not just because of the risk of pregnancy, etc. It's a risk of violence, because you don't know what guy you've got until you've brought him in. Mm. You could be dragging home a Ted Bundy type for all you know. And just because you think he's attractive, you don't know his character until his hand could be around your throat in your apartment. So that's just not safe. And it just makes me think less of your character, because you're willing to put yourself in that position to meet your sexual urges. That's not too bright.
It's also dehumanizing for the person they're approaching, because you're basically just going to be a piece of meat.
Yeah.
They're not there to talk to them.
Yeah, I'm a walking Sibian. Thanks.
Mm. Oh, dear. But yeah, from my own experience, which take what you will of it, is that you should, it's best to date people that you come into contact with in your own life, who you actually have some sort of connection with, you know, a little bit, a friend of a friend, or someone that you've somehow come into contact with in some walk of your everyday life. That's fine. The only caveat I would say is avoid the workplace, because you don't want to ruin your own career. That's one that you're just like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances, that's that should be a line in the sand for everyone.
Yeah, don't pee in your own cereal bowl.
That's a more PG version of the one
yes.
I know.
Yeah.
So yes, I wanted to read this Reddit post, which is quite illuminating, really, on what we're trying to say, because it's titled "Cold Approach from a Girl's Perspective," and this is more or less saying what we were saying. Yep. So I'm just going to do a little bit of reading, so please humour it for the time being. And it starts with, "So I've, female 20, been reading some of the cold approach posts recently, mostly from men talking about women, and some of them described approaching girls in the street and telling them they're pretty. What I'm about to say is only based on my personal experience and some conversations with my female friends, so keep that in mind, please. I've been approached in various places, but what I've noticed is when a guy walks up to me on the street when I'm going somewhere, he outright says to me something along the lines of, 'Hey, you're pretty, what's your name?' I'm almost always startled and want to leave ASAP." I mean, I don't blame you, to be honest. First, because I'm usually in a rush and need to get somewhere and he's stopping me and making me late. Second, because I already know what's on his mind, and don't get me wrong, it's really nice that someone thinks I'm attractive, and I don't suspect every guy to constantly think of sex. It's just he's already stating in his very first words to me that he's only talking to me because he thinks of me in a date material sort of way." You made a face.
Yeah, because that's not what it is. It's not date material, it's sex material. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I'm going to say this, right? Sexual undertones underscore every relationship between a man and a woman who at least think each other are attractive. If you're ugly or a lesbian, it's fine, I can be friends with you. But even if you're in a committed relationship, it's unlikely that a close male-female friendship will work out, because there's always the potential for cross-contamination there. So she's looking at it in the wrong way. She's perfectly fine to object to a man walking up to her and saying, you know, "You're pretty," etc., because she knows the intention. If she's not interested in the intention, that's fine. But then to object to the fact that she knows this is the intention, no, that's always going to be the intention. You don't want to change the intention. You just don't care about the intention for this specific person. And to be fair, there's the old joke of, and I don't condone this, but there's the old joke of an ugly guy and a very attractive guy can say the same thing. One is flirtation, one is sexual harassment. That's just how the dynamics work. But the underlying motivation is always the same. So she's sort of struggling with a Sisyphean effort to try and change the culture here. it's not going to work.
So it carries on, and it makes me kind of uncomfortable because I'd rather meet you first, talk to you about things, and get to know your character and your charisma, and then ask you out or be asked out on a date or give you my phone number, be given yours. You get it, my appearance wouldn't matter to you if you only wanted to expand a social circle. By mentioning my looks first, you're making a clear statement of your motives.
Actually completely valid, yes.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've also been approached in bars and clubs, on campus and in supermarkets and shops. And what those situations had in common was me not rushing anywhere and those guys starting a conversation with saying something casual, for example, asking me about the lettering on my tote bag. One mentioned that he thought my glasses were really cool and then showing me his, which are almost identical.
Yeah, I've got really feminine glasses too. Will you go out with me?
Okay. Another one asked me if I knew what the bar's specialty was. I mean, that's a weird question. I've worked in many bars. If you say what their specialty is, I mean, alcohol.
Yeah, that's just a coded thing of saying, so come here often. Yes, I too am an alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
But the underlying premises for this is don't be sexually explicit in your approach. If you are trying to approach a woman, you know, start at least a cordial conversation about shared interest. And that can establish your social competence and also your sense of humor. And women like to laugh, mm-hmm. shockingly.
I think the advice I would give would be organic and don't have an agenda.
Yeah.
If you have an agenda, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Well, okay.
For either one of you.
It's impossible. Don't make the agenda transparent because it's impossible not to engage in a conversation with an attractive woman as a single man without an agenda. But the agenda has to be an underlying unspoken dance between the two of mutual interest. It shouldn't just be an outright proposition because a woman is perfectly reasonably sexually selective and safeguards her propriety if she has any sense. So if you're just going to come right out and establish a sort of transaction of sex without establishing your good character first, then of course she's going to run for the hills, mm-hmm. and she should. And if she does run for the hills, then that means she's actually someone worth pursuing, funnily enough.
Don't say it quite like that.
Not literally sprinting after her. I mean, if she rejects a bunch of men who proposition her, then that means that she's a good woman. And there are a few of them still out there. So. Mm-hmm.
So it carries on. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, all of the successful approaches were super laid back. I didn't feel hunted down. There we go. See? Gave me a chance to escape them without saying that I'm not interested. It's actually quite hard to tell such a thing to someone, or lying about having a boyfriend. That only happens when the guy is too persistent.
I've been roped into that before.
Yeah, I've had to pose as a boyfriend.
Well, I accidentally didn't realise that she was trying to do it. So, quick tangent. We went on a night out. We just sat around in the Wetherspoons having a chat, and one of the girls asked a guy at the opposite table to come and take a photo of us. And rather than take the photo, he started stalling and trying to chat her up. He's a Californian. And he went, "Oh, is that your man?" And she went, "Yes." And at the same time, I went, "Oh, no." And immediately dropped her in it without any. So she elbowed me, but she got stuck in a 40-minute conversation with this fella when she was meant to be on there. So I was just sitting there quite enjoying it.
That's evil.
That's quite funny.
I can't trust you anymore now.
Well, yeah, but I told the truth.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you threw them in it.
Well, yeah, but she could have just said no. But that's actually the interesting thing about what she said. Mm-hmm. It's quite hard to tell someone that you don't like them, mm-hmm. because female rejection can often be passive aggressive, unless you're truly ugly or approach in a repulsive way, which she will quite vehemently object. Go, no, it's the agreeableness factor. And what I think the advice here is that you're seeing the gap between agreeable and actually well-intentioned women and disagreeable men who are trying to make a rational framework out of relationships. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to have a one-size-fits-all approach where you just bluster in with your overwhelming confidence and domineer the woman. Female agreeableness, which is obviously a defense mechanism as well, means that she might shy away from this overbearing personality, this beast to the beauty dynamic. And that's perfectly understandable. This is why this doesn't work unless you're essentially approaching disagreeable, very masculine women who are out at clubs with the same thing on their mind, and that is a hookup. So if you're looking for a long-lasting relationship, the cold approach isn't going to work.
I do very much agree with the fact that it's very hard to tell someone these sorts of things. Mm. And because I worked when I was at university to pay for my university education, I worked in bars for a few years. I had lots and lots of women approaching me trying to get my phone number.
Yeah.
And it was always very difficult to say no because it's like nice to get the recognition.
Yeah.
However, I'm just like, this is really awkward. I'm at work. I'm going to now have to serve you drinks for the rest of the evening awkwardly. And there have been a few occasions where I've been as polite as humanly possible and they've been like, ugh, like stormed off.
Yeah.
And like held it against me. And I was just like, well, you put me in an awkward situation in my workplace. And I've explained it before that I've been like, I'm at work. This isn't really professional for me to do. And I tried to get out of it that way. And I was just like, maybe in another setting. I was trying to be as
cordial as possible. Yes. Yeah, gentlemanly.
And they were just like, why not? And I was just like, well, get the hint. I'm trying to be polite
yeah.
and not do it. But they were just like, no, well, what's the problem? No one's looking. And I was like, well.
Yeah,
I'm trying to give you an out to and save your dignity here.
That resentment comes from the inversion of the dynamic of where before it was, I suppose you could say, the man leads the dance. And now the sort of sexual aggressiveness of some women, particularly very drunk and belligerent women, means that the dance is less elegant, shall we say.
I came to realise that the only method that would work where I didn't have resentful women staring me down all evening was just like, I've got a girlfriend. Then all of a sudden, they leave me alone.
Not all women do.
I know.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, propriety and the sanctity of a relationship is not something very well respected either. This is my girlfriend. I mean, she's had male friends, and I've said, okay, I think he fancies you a little bit, and then it's turned out that he has. And so we've got a rule now, the sort of Mike Pence rule of just, oh, if it's in a work setting, that's fine. Group setting, that's fine. But obviously, don't go out with a single man or a single woman, because you can just cross-contaminate it, and it's not about you, it's about you don't know what their intentions are. And that came from her arguing, oh, I think he was all right, and I said, okay, if I flip this around, and would you say that you would trust a woman even when I'm in a relationship? Oh no, girls are sneaky, girls have intentions. I went, right, okay, so do you not see the other side of this coin? And so it actually just works better if you don't do that.
I think that's a good rule, in that if there's like a one-on-one dynamic and they're in a relationship, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I think there's one caveat, like perhaps they're old childhood friends or something, like they've almost got like a sibling-like relationship, but then there's still some space for weirdness.
Yeah,
there,
that happened with me, and then I slept with her. So that's probably not, doesn't always stay that way, mate. Just from experience, it won't always, there's always that underlying possibility of tension.
It depends on the person's character then, clearly.
Yeah.
Not to throw you under the bus.
No, no, that's fair. That's fine.
So yes, the post continues on. Those guys also make it really easy for me to get into a conversation with them and actually let me talk to them like I'm a normal person, not just an object of physical attraction, which is perfectly reasonable in my opinion, thus making it easier to either exchange numbers or just expand our social circles without any pressure. They made me feel like a nice human being worthy of their attention, and not just because of my looks, but rather because they found me an interesting person to talk to, girlfriend material or not. There we go. And she says, I think I've made it into a little rant, but honestly, don't mean to offend anyone. The fact she has to say that at all is pretty egregious. But then it goes on to some irrelevant stuff.
Well,
but
I think it's partly because women can often be overly explanatory, because I know Matt Walsh said this in like a Reddit advice dating episode, which is hilarious. But men are not natural conversationalists. Even though we have deep discussions about specific topics, unless we launch into a passionate topic, we're not incited towards a lengthy ramble like we're doing here.
I think it very much depends on, you know, in the Big Five personality, you have the extroversion side of things. Men typically are lower on the extroversion side of things, because I think the best way of dichotomizing the different sort of extremes of extroversion is how much do you derive happiness of being around people. So if you're quite low in extroversion, you enjoy your own company quite a lot. If you're quite high in extroversion, you enjoy being around other people. And I think that your competence as a man in conversational terms will be dictated by this. And if you enjoy other people's company more, then you're going to be more engaging company yourself, because it also is easy to pick up that you're enjoying yourself, and therefore people want to be around you.
But also, I think women have a deep need for social connection, whereas men can not take it or leave it, but when they're in a social situation, they can enjoy it with a deep conversation, but they won't necessarily always seek it out. Like, you can have some weekends of where you're just at home alone or just walking around and you don't talk to a soul, and you can be quite peaceful. And that's why Matt Walsh in his video said, it's the movie Castaway is the wrong way around. Because a man could be sitting on an island for years and think it was just a weekend, but whereas a woman would be the more inclined one to draw a face on a beach ball, and there'd be an entire social dynamic on the island. She'd be talking to the coconuts behind the beach ball's back and everything, just because that's how women operate. The thoughts build up in their brain over time, and they need to open the tap and let them loose and just chat. That's what my girlfriend says. I'm just chatting to you, and I'm just saying, well, and why aren't you talking to me back? And I'm just saying, well, because you're just rattling off about your day, and I can't really get an in about a conversation there, but I'm just letting you vent. I don't need to do that. You know, it's not in the same way. So her proviso there is almost an over-explanation because she's very aware of the social dynamic, even though it's online, where I think a lot of the guys aren't going to put this. They're just going to put, here's what I think, boom. And sometimes that can be taken as aggressiveness or assertiveness or arrogance, whereas it's just being matter of fact.
I've always found that I've been able to kind of do a little bit of both, depending on the situation. Like, I think because I've always had female friends and stuff like that, find it a lot easier to approach these sorts of situations in a way which they can intuitively understand, rather than just being this sort of stereotypical male, just saying, just putting stuff out there and letting it sit there and just sitting there without being able to read the situation, more or less.
See, I had female friends, and then obviously I changed over time as well, but the social dynamics really just bog it down, and I don't want the headache of trying to navigate things, particularly as well because I wasn't always that good at it, so it's just exhausting. So instead, just by being blunt, I prefer risking offense and then saying sorry afterwards if I genuinely didn't intend it, but getting to the heart of the matter and saying what I thought for my own congruency. And it also makes it sometimes social situations are easier to react around the loudest, most disagreeable person in the room, rather than everyone, you know, treading on eggshells.
I didn't necessarily suggest being dishonest, by the way.
I mean,
you've just got to be tactful in how you do it sometimes, is what I was alluding to.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.